And we're on.
And we're on?
We're on, man. What's the new... We're actually both pretty pissed off this week.
Yeah, let's make this a quick one.
It won't be. We're definitely going to argue about that shit, man.
Man, it was... Yeah, frustrating week.
Yeah,
none of my teams won this week. Juve, Chelsea.
Well, Juve also sacked the manager.
Yeah, sacked the manager. Yeah, San Francisco 49ers lost as well.
Yeah.
Bro, all my teams lost this week and it was fucking...
Well, that means they're all going to win next week, right?
I fucking hope so.
Isn't that how it goes?
I need a pick-me-up.
Yeah. Yeah. And when no one wants the usual pick-me-up, that we end up destroying ourselves with alcohol.
Or other...
Nope,
just alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, let's get into news.
All right. Newsflash. Yeah. Where are we starting?
Well, I found a cool one on Instagram this week.
Mm.
It's the greatest Sunday league side to face... Or kind of the worst Thunder League side to face, to be honest. So it's Wythenshaw's Veterans.
Say that again.
Wythenshaw's Veterans. So it's just like a Sunday League team.
In England?
Yeah, in England, right? They've gone through, they've won the league title. Let's just start there.
All right.
Right, and now I'm going to tell you how they won the league title.
All right, go.
Now, they won 6-1 in the final game of the season. And that's because they've
pretty convincing.
Well, six goals come from a player that you'll find kind of familiar with. Papis Cisse?
Yeah, bro, he tortured Chelsea.
Dude, he's still on the all-time scorers list for those two goals that he scored in the same match. Against Chelsea.
Against Chelsea,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I remember that game very vividly because he destroyed us and he scored probably one of the best goals in Premier League history.
Yeah, it's in the top 10 still.
Yeah.
It's in the top 10
the guy,
still.
The guy was a fucking gun player.
Yeah, so he plays in that team. You've got Emil Heskey on the same team.
Oh,
the
former Newcastle Jets striker.
I love a Newcastle Jets striker. God.
I don't know where else he played, but Newcastle Jets was the height of his career.
This is showing the level of Sunday League. Sunday League equals A-League.
Yeah, so he's used to it.
Yeah, I've just been warming up over in Australian Professional League for this. Then they've got Nedhem Onyewa.
Yeah, we just, I don't know who he was, but we just looked it up.
Yeah, QPR.
City, QPR.
Yeah. So, City Youth played left when they got bought out.
Played about 10 years in the Premier League, so cool. He's got experience there.
I ain't fucking with him. We've got Danny Drinkwater.
Former Chelsea legend.
Yeah, dude, Premier League winner with Leicester.
Hey, bro. Hey, no one will ever take that away from him.
And I think he's also a bricklayer now.
He is now a bricklayer. So, that kind of makes sense as a bricklayer, play Sunday League. Yeah, it works out.
Good for him. Then you've got Jolyon Lescott.
Jolyon Lescott, the guy with a massive scar or something on his forehead. Yeah. Yep.
Somehow the scar's been reduced after he played. Have you seen that?
Is he gone to Turkey?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a lot of forehead to fill. That would have been expensive, dude.
Yeah, he was, I think it was Everton captain and then went to City.
Went to City, was controversial. Didn't do that great at City, to be fair.
Nah, didn't do that good. But Everton was his claim to fame.
Yeah, then you got Omar Niasse.
Omar Niasse, that was the one.
Senegal. He's a Senegal.
Played for Hull.
Was it Hull? No. He played for Everton.
Oh, that was Everton, yeah.
He played for Everton in the Premier League.
Yep.
And then you got Stephen Ireland, played for Man City.
Dude, I remember Stephen Ireland because, one, he was just this, he had the shiniest head.
Yeah.
He had the shiniest head. Yeah. But he was at City in that transition when they got bought out. So he was like still in the shitty Man City team. Then they got bought out and like, oh, Stephen Ireland will kick on. And he didn't kick on.
He
clearly sucked for what they were looking for.
Then the last guy, look, less a lone name, Maynor Figueroa. Played with Hull when they were in the
That's
what
I was thinking of. Yeah.
And he was all right. He was decent. Like, well, he's a decent player.
Well, look, we've both played Sunday League. I've seen ex-Australian players play in Sunday League. And they destroy it. So yeah, I would hate to play ex-Premier League players in the Sunday League.
That even when they're 40.
Exactly. Even they're 40, they would still be better.
Which is what Papa C says. He's 40. When I looked it up, he's got six goals against them. Just tap his way. Just dribble past people and just tap them in.
Yeah. I would hate to play in that league.
Yeah.
So when you're saying like it's a good thing and a bad thing, like it's good for them. It's cool. Oh, we get to play against ex-Premier League players, but then actually playing against them would just be...
It would suck. You just do nothing. You're just like, oh, okay, well, Emil Heskey's just going to take the ball down and hold it up.
Defend Emil Heskey.
Yeah, dude, don't. That's the point. You stand there and you make it look like you're defending him until he just turns you and you go, ah, nice one.
Yeah. Good one, Emil.
Yeah.
Can I have your jersey?
Yeah, get away from me.
No, not that one. I want your Newcastle Jets jersey.
The most valuable of all your jerseys. The Newcastle Jets jersey.
You played for Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want the Newcastle one.
Yeah, please, Newcastle Jets. I don't even know how I'd buy one of those.
But that, yeah, that's cool. Good for them. Still winning. Danny Drinkwater can now add another trophy to his to his list.
I bet just front and center too. Like, yeah, this is the most valuable one.
He's got his Premier League winners medal, and then just at the front, Sunday League. I'm most proud of that one. Yeah. Shows I still got it.
We look on to some bit of transfer news. I think this
already,
is
already. It's only October.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one kind of makes sense, right? You got Mikel Antonio.
Mikel Antonio, yep.
That giant car crash. Didn't look like he was ever going to come back and be able to play.
It's been about a year now since he had that.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
And West Ham done the right thing by him. Kept paying him. Kept him on the books. Allowed him to come back. Rehab and all of that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're letting him go. And after 10 years at West Ham, he's going to join Brentford.
It kind of reminds me of the Christian Eriksen saga.
Mm.
When I think he was at Inter and he had the heart attack when he was playing in the Euros. They did keep him on. They helped him out. And then eventually they allowed him to leave and he played with Brentford.
Yeah.
Which, crazy enough.
Damn, Brentford's the charity club.
Are they the... Yeah, they're like the disabled club. Like, oh,
come one, come all. We're very Christian.
No discrimination here.
Yeah. Whoa, you have one leg?
Oh.
Starting 11.
Oh, huge car accident?
Yeah.
Get in here.
Yeah, supercar, you say? That's amazing.
But look, I think it's good for Mikel. I think he's probably tough getting back into playing in the Premier League, and I think joining another team gives you that reinvigoration of like, I'm ready to play again. Like, yeah, maybe just joining back in the team.
I think if his fitness and like if he got his kind of fitness and strength back to where it was, man, he's a dangerous player. He can suit Brentford.
Yeah,
I mean, front with Thiago.
Yeah, Brentford's been playing well above what we thought they were going
to
do.
Well, to be fair, I think, was it three episodes ago? We were talking about one of the worst defensive showings of a team that I've ever seen in the Premier League was Brentford. They were air swinging. There was an own goal. One of the worst games I've ever seen. Every time I've said to them, they have a terrible defense. They just prove me wrong and they just beat teams.
They find a way to win, which we'll get into later. But they have been, they've been going above what I've expected of them so far.
100%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I think he'll be a good addition in there in general.
Is that confirmed or is that just rumor? I mean,
he's not been put in a jersey, obviously, because he can't be.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty confident. It's come out from, I think, Bet365. The EPL 365.
Yeah.
And
you're gambling on the line.
Yeah, got a fat multi going at the moment. And then I think it's also been on soccer news on Instagram.
Okay.
So it seems pretty legit. We'll see if he ever puts in a jersey.
Yep.
The other interesting one this week, Scott Carson's retired.
Scott Carson sounds like a plumber's name, but...
He kind of was a plumber.
Please explain to the people who Scott Carson is.
Dude, Scott Carson's the greatest third-string goalkeeper in the history of the EPL. No one sat on a bench and gave the team spirit like Scott Carson.
So you're saying he's like the smartest kid on the short yellow bus.
Let's put it this way. He has more trophies than he does games played.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, he's got 11 trophies from his time at City. I can recall two times that he ever took the pitch.
I'm assuming it would have been like EFL Cup game.
Just injuries. Like, people got injured and he had to just come on.
He must have been like, fuck.
Yeah, he's just there like, well, I'm not warm, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Me?
Me. Yeah, I'm the other goalkeeper? Oh, fuck. Like, he just forgets his position. He's just there.
I'd rather that fat guy that was at the Sunday League game with a pie in his hand than Scott Carson. He was ready. This Scott Carson, I don't trust.
He was ready and he's also hustling, which I respect with that fucking meat pie. What a legend.
But yeah, third, greatest third goalkeeper of all time.
Oh, I mean, it has to go down.
He's, you know who he is? He is the definition of when the group does all the group work in a school project.
And
he did nothing.
He's there. He's like, whack my name on it, fellas.
So it's Carson. Carson. Yeah. Throw me on there.
They're all like, hang on a second.
You didn't do anything.
Yeah. Hey, remember when you guys were doing all the work and I was behind you going like, fucking go.
Go team.
Yeah. Like, oh, you guys are awesome.
Team.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Scott the project Carson. Manager of Man City.
Scott Carson.
Scottie C.
Nah, good for him. He's going to retire with 11 trophies.
Yeah, fuck. I'd put him up too. Like, everyone that works in my house would be like, ever seen my Premier League trophies that I've got up here, guys.
Not one photo of a game that he started. Yeah, I played in the Premier League.
Dude, it's just what game it's was him that? After like an intense game and everyone's filthy and he's just clean as shit and he's just there like...
He's in the background.
Yeah. No, there I am there. And it's just him just going...
Just see like up to here.
Because it's so cold, he's just got that...
Scott?
What'd you end up doing after high school? Well, I got a highlight reel. It's just him like...
It's just him in the corner just scratching his balls. Like, 11 trophies, man.
Oh, this is great. On to kind of big news, follows up almost from last week.
Yes.
So we obviously know Sean Dyche took over Ange's job.
Sorry, who?
Mr. DJ.
Oh, that's who you mean.
Yeah,
you know. Yes. Sean DJ. Yeah. Joined Forest after Ange got sacked, which was a crazy turn of events.
And there's already rumours of where he may end up. And it sounds pretty favourable for him. So Brendan Rodgers has never resigned from Celtic. Reasons unreported.
Well, I just had a look, right? So Celtic are currently second in the Scottish Premier League, but they are 8 points off Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I saw a thing yesterday where only one team has won the Scottish Premier League that isn't Celtic or Rangers in like the past 10 or 15 years. And I think it was Aberdeen or something. They're the only one. So it's always Hearts and Rangers. Celtic and Rangers.
Well, they're the two with money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Hearts is absolutely killing at the moment. So they played 9 games, 8 wins, 1 draw. Right? Celtic, 5 games, 2 draws, 2 losses. So they're 8 points behind already. I'm putting it down to that.
Maybe, yeah. Probably unsettled in there. But it's, I mean, if Ange goes back there, he had a fantastic manager's career.
He won the treble.
Yeah.
Won the treble there. So
maybe he turns it around.
That'd be it'd be a good homecoming for him. If I was Ange, I would be a little bit worried that you're taking a backward step.
But look, he's not going to get another Premier League team.
No, but I just thought, you said it before, Juve just sacked their coach.
You think he could do Juve?
Well, I wonder if he could spark, because they've got good players in their team that could play his style. They've got a range of players, much more versatile than Forrest do. It might be an interesting move if he does want to go there.
Just, I don't know. You've had a team like Tottenham. All right, you've got him a trophy, and I think that means a lot more to the Premier League viewers than it does to like a Serie A, right? The Serie A, look at him, he won a Europa League.
But it's still a big
thing.
The
performance in the league was so dismal. Mm. And like I do chalk up a lot of that to the injuries that he got.
Yes.
But at the same time, then you've taken over the Forest team, which I think was a dumb job for him to take, to be fair.
It made sense on paper.
Well,
but then when you looked into the guts of it, it didn't.
Like, you just looked at it, I'm like, well, the team's not built for him. Yeah. Like, it's built for a strong defensive style. Like, you know what I mean? Utilize the 1 to 2 good players that you have up front, but have a strong back line. That's why you saw a lot of the fullbacks and backs the season before getting a lot of goals and assists.
Yeah, and I think that Juve do have those types of players. It would be an interesting move for him to go to Italy. If not Italy, I'm just worried.
I think his high pressure works better in that league than it would in the Premier League, because the Premier League can overload that pressure, right, with the ball over the top.
Yeah. Look, it'd be interesting. I think him going to Celtic is a backward step. I don't know if that would help him going forward trying to find a better job. But if he goes back, good luck to him.
Yeah, I think if he's looking for a job, it's a good job for him to take.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean? Because at least if he can go then, you know, catch Hearts, reconfigure that team, he could probably get like a lower team in another league. You know what I mean?
In like a bigger league.
Go to like Germany, take over Frankfurt. Go over to Germany, take over Wolfsburg.
Him in Germany would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Like we'll call it a discussion about the German league. And like we've seen, Germany is up there with the Premier League in terms of attack. Him playing a high line in Germany would be very interesting.
That's what I do. I mean, Vincent Kompany worked so well in the German league, right?
Yeah.
But in Premier League, not so much.
No.
Not so much at all.
No, yeah.
So, we will follow what happens with Ange, as we always do.
Yeah.
But I think
always got to follow our fellow Aussies, right?
Yeah, that's it. Even though I used to talk heaps of shit about him.
Yeah, you were. Dude. You were the biggest hater of Ange.
Yeah, prove me wrong, but at least I can change my mind.
He did change your mind.
Yeah.
The guy won trophies everywhere he coached.
Yes.
Brisbane, Melbourne, Japan, Australia.
Yeah, I just didn't agree with what you did with the Australian team.
I loved what you did with the Australian team. It was fucking great.
You would.
Yeah. I just sack all the old cunts and you just brought in a whole new young bunch of players and they won the Asian Cup. So, anyway,
You've got a piece of news for us.
Yeah, I'm actually doing my bit in the news department this time. Over the weekend was the El Clasico.
It's always fun.
The biggest club game in world football. And there was a lot of talking points. So look, Real Madrid won 2-1. Mbappe scored first. Well, actually, should have scored a cracker goal, but then was called offside after VAR checked it. But what VAR didn't check is who actually passed the ball to Mbappe. It was a Barcelona defender. And if you know the rules, can't be offside if a defender passes the ball.
Of course.
So Mbappe got screwed out of that, but he got one back. And then Barcelona scored. It wasn't Ferran Torres. It was another Ferran. He scored. And then Bellingham got a goal. Now he's back. Now he's back from injury. He's starting to score a few goals now. He's coming back into form.
He's a talent. It's like, I think there's a lot of.
It was a tap in, but he still was. He was the smart one to wait for it. Ball came over and he put it away. His celebration was mad, bro. Imagine like 90,000 people cheering or 80,000 people cheering you on in the Bernabeu. He's just like Vince McMahon. Conor McGregor walks. Yeah. You're like, fuck, bro.
Yeah, he's sick a man, move. Bro.
Yeah. And then Mbappe got a penalty. There was a penalty and he actually had it saved. So it was still 2-1. And yeah, they're going back and forth. It was more Real Madrid. 96 minute, Pedri loses the ball, goes in sliding into Tchouameni. Second yellow, red card, whistle goes. From there, actually, I did miss a point. Vinny Jr. got subbed off.
I've seen the Vinny Jr. thing. He just loses his shit at Xabi.
He went straight up the tunnel. And he came back with slides on like 10 minutes later to watch the rest of the game. Did not acknowledge Xavi, just fucking went.
Yeah, it's just like saying things like, if you want, he goes, I'll go. I don't have to stay here. I'm just like, bruh.
Bro, like, clearly Xavi Alonso has a plan as to what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, Vinny Jr. is now going to.
That's the problem with Real Madrid, bro. They buy all the superstars. And then all of a sudden, if one of the superstars gets subbed off and he's not the man, they're going
to
get upset.
That's why Ancelotti was so good for them, because he was able to control all the egos in the team.
Yeah, but also,
Xavi is
he was a bigger. He was bigger than that team.
Yeah, like, it's like when Zidane was there.
Yeah, correct. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to go off at Zidane?
Yeah.
The greatest
midfielder of all time. You're going to talk shit to him?
Yeah. It's the same with Ancelotti. He's the greatest manager of all time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? It's like, I'll go somewhere else. You're not playing for a better manager.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? To Xabi Alonso, he's not there yet.
Not yet.
It's like, yes, he was a great player for Madrid and Liverpool.
And he's a great up-and-coming manager.
Yeah, but he's not Zidane level, you know what I mean? Player where it could have been where he's like unquestionable.
Bro, those guys had an aura about them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Xavi doesn't have that yet.
Yeah, he's building. Xabi Alonso should have headbutted someone. Devon would have been like, dude, he'll fucking headbutt you, dude.
And then, yes, Pedri gets sent off and then the game called, right? And then after the game, there was some more shit. There was a big brawl that happened.
I did see the giant brawl.
Right, so Carvajal and Lamine Yamal, Spanish teammates, fucking going at it. And then... fucking everybody comes running in. Courtois starts mouthing off to...
I saw he was getting right into it, bro.
He was fucking heated, bro. They were going at it. And then, fucking yellow cards, branded left and right. And after the game, then Lamine Yamal unfollowed his Spanish captain.
Yeah, Pedri and Gavi?
No, it wasn't Gavi. It was someone else. I think it might have been the Ferran, the guy that's... There was someone else. But yeah, three Spanish players from Barcelona unfollowed the captain of Spain. You're going, oh, what the fuck is going on? This kind of takes me back to when it was Mourinho Pep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Puyol and Pique and Xavi.
Well, you're getting good
And then you've got like again. Ramos Sabello and all these other guys like... The Real Madrid Barcelona guys were going at it, even though they all played for Spain.
The Spanish team gets affected by that, bro.
Well, to be fair, when that happened, they won three trophies in a row. They won the 2 Euros and the World Cup.
Well, maybe it's the spark they need.
It could be, because World Cup year, they just won the Euro. They could go back to back.
They're talking mad shit, bro. Like, dude, Lamine Yamal's talking mad shit.
Oh, bro.
I also think that he's really fucking up.
He's allowing, in my opinion, he's allowing fame to kind of get to him. And look, I get it. Like, you're 18, 19 years old. You've got the world at your feet. You've been nominated for a Ballon d'Or. You won second, the young player in the world. Like, I get it, but somebody has to keep this kid grounded, because I just see it going the way of, like, Neymar. Super talented, absolute beast, but he just let so much go to his head where he was able to, I'm going to take time off in February. Why? Because I feel like it. I'm going to get a massive stake in this company. Why? Because I feel like it. I'm going to be injured.
I deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And, like, and that becomes... that really fucked up Barcelona after he left.
Yeah, because he costed so much. He costed them so much.
He was so vital to them. They allowed him to go for 200 million and they fucking bought Dembele, who did jack shit, and then eventually Griezmann, who did jack shit. They went out and bought all these players for big money and it totally fucked them up for years.
Yeah, well, so they're still fucked up now. They're 138 million in debt.
Yeah, exactly. They still got to pay all these players. I've got a bad feeling they could go down the same path again.
Well, I mean, yeah, if he keeps acting like a fucking fool. Because it's just like, you can act the fool, but you got to win.
Correct.
Like, you know what I mean? If you're winning and then you're acting the fool, everyone just goes, oh, well, he's winning.
As long as he's winning.
Yeah, but like, you're acting the fool and you're winning.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like Jude Bellingham's better than you.
100%.
Like, Jude Bellingham's way better than you. He's not acting the fool.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
He's
an absolute beast.
His parents are.
Yeah, his parents are fuckwits, bro.
But he's not.
I love how Jude is just, like, chilling in Spain and Job is in England with his parents.
No, in Germany.
Germany. He's getting... abusing the fucking...
But to be fair, they did put him on in that Dortmund game and he got two assists.
Yeah, bro, he's a good player. Yeah, it's just funny we got the fucking parents in the back to like, put my son on.
Yeah.
What is this, fucking...
Sunday league.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah. No, we have Emil Heskey on.
All right.
Why don't we jump into some of the European games?
Yeah, so we had European games last week. We'll go through a few of the English teams. Yep.
We've got good representation in the Champions League now. We're all actually doing fairly decently.
Well, yeah, we got five teams in there now. Yeah. And 4-1 and one drew, I believe. I think you missed the team.
Who did we miss?
Oh, no, sorry. That was in Europa League.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ignore me.
Because we had Newcastle beat Benfica 3-0. Pretty confident. Benfica's not an easy team to beat, but they were at home.
Well, Benfica's coached by Jose Mourinho now.
Yeah, but he hadn't been there long enough.
No, it's only been a few weeks.
Yeah. Then you've got Man City beat Villarreal away from home.
Yep.
I mean, as they should. Barcelona beat Atletico. However, it's a bit of drama in this. They end up being on 4-0 after, I think, they were 1-0 at halftime. Came out in the second half, just destroyed them.
No, we have six teams in the Premier.
Who's the...
Tottenham.
Oh, I did forget Tottenham. They drew, did they?
They drew, yeah. So we had five teams win. Yeah, and three and one draw, yeah.
So easy.
I don't want to talk about Tottenham. I will get into Tottenham later.
Yeah,
but
Atletico has put a protest forward to UEFA after the Arsenal game. Have you seen this? Because Arsenal
something about showers,
cold showers. They only gave them cold showers, no hot showers, and apparently, like, yeah. Now they've put forward like a dispute to UEFA about cold showers.
What are they going to do? Fucking dock Arsenal points because Atletico didn't get
a hot shower. We're reversing the wins, but they're like...
Arsenal's banned from the competition. Yeah,
Liverpool go to Galatasaray and they literally have fans outside the hotel the entire night shooting fireworks at all of the windows.
It's like 2, 3 in the morning. Yeah. It's like... Bah, 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 bah,
yeah,
bah.
With giant speakers playing. And I'm like, oh, well...
Turks are fucked, yeah. Bro. We're fucked playing in Turkey, bro.
And they're going, wow, we hate cold showers. Yeah, come on, bro.
Come on, bro. Chill out. There's levels to this game, all right?
Then you guys had a 10-man Ajax.
Yeah, look, they got the red card.
Your teams love a red card, eh?
Bro, there's always red cards in
your
team.
You're either getting them or giving them.
I don't know what the fuck's going on, bro. But look, they got a red card. We dominated after that. They got a pen for their goal, but it was pretty comfortable.
Then we had Frankfurt. We beat them away from
sorry,
home.
Before we move on, I just wanted one stat that I want to bring up in the Chelsea game.
Yeah, go.
First team in Champions League history to have three different teenage scorers.
All right.
Very, very happy with
well,
that.
Well, you have to. That's all you got in your team.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But we're the first team to do it.
Good work,
Mark
man.
It was Marky, Gittens, and Estevao.
Well, Gittens getting a goal is good.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Estevao getting a goal.
Gittens that goal.
Gittens that pussy. That's my...
I know it's your name. I'm reporting it.
I was going to say, fuck off, cunt.
I'm reporting your name, dude.
You would, you snitch. Yeah, if snitch rat fuck.
If you're first in the league by the end, I'm reporting
your... Week 37.
Yeah, I'm like, report.
Report.
Report. It's like, I win.
Oh, bro. Actually, do it. That'd be funny. Because I'm taking a screenshot and I'm counting all the fucking stats myself, bro. Fuck you.
Nah, it doesn't count if it's not in the system, bro. then we have the Liverpool. We managed to get our A win after what, four games?
You had four games,
Four game losing streak. Get a win against Frankfurt. Good win. Wirtz gets two assists. Bloody...
Finally.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to say he dominated the game.
And I mean, you won 5-1, so...
I wanted to see Isha get a goal. He ended up getting an injury. Fucked, bro. We can't win.
I feel like...
Gravenberg got an injury. Rolled his ankle.
We said this last week. We said... I think Ishak should have taken off the time up until the international break. He doesn't seem fit.
Yeah, bro. He looks off the ball. He's just a little half second slower than everything.
I think he should have taken the 3 weeks off, get fully fit, get ready, after that come back firing. But
we need him to fire, bro. Look, to be fair, I think we should have changed formation. And I still strongly believe
not for this game, you mean?
No, I think moving forward,
going forward,
formation. Like, I could have done it for this game. I don't give a fuck. We just needed
to. You could have done it for this game.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I reckon we go 4-4-2, right? And play two up front. Whether or not you play Ishak, Cody, Gakpo. Gakpo can play through the middle.
Mm.
You just have him given the ability to go out wide if he needs to. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, then it gives freedom for, well, it was Frimpong till he got fucking injured in the game.
Another one.
Oh, shit.
I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Oh, there's a double, bro.
Yeah, it's going to fall. Damn this. I really need to get a more permanent fixture for this, man. So look, it was a good win to get. We needed the win.
Didn't help going forward. Let's get into match day nine.
Match day nine? Cool.
Yeah.
So we had, I got 4 out of 10 this week.
Yeah, it's fucking caught up on me.
Well, listen, I forgot to put my damn tips in for the Leeds West Ham game.
Not my problem, bro.
Yeah, well, it's my problem and I'm still beating your ass. So you got lucky that I didn't put my tips in, otherwise it would have been 2 extra.
First game was Leeds West Ham. As you said, I picked Leeds, you picked nothing.
Yeah.
Look, Leeds got two goals in the first 15 minutes, two quick goals. And then, look, West Ham got that consolation goal in the 90th minute. I was happy with that because Bowen assisted. And I was like, oh, good, 5 points, great.
Yeah, you got lucky at the end of
Very
that.
Lucky.
I was burning because I had Rondon who scored the goal. I'm like, yes, dude. And I'm following it on my phone. I was following it on my phone when I was on the way to do some swimming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nice. If this clean sheet comes through, this guy's going to get like 19 points. This is going to be fucking sweet. And then, bang, goal in the 90th minute. I'm like, fuck you, man.
Next game. We'll just get into the Chelsea one.
Yeah, into it.
Look, we lost 2-1. We both picked Chelsea, obviously. Started off with a fucking banger. Garnacho scored.
Yeah, but then one of your fans had been posting, do not allow him to do his celebration.
People have been saying ban him from doing the celebration. He does it. And the reason why is because every time he does it, they lost.
Yeah.
Whoever team he plays for lost.
And what happened now? They lost.
Yeah, so look, we go up 1-0 and then Sunderland get their goal through a long throw, which you can see now a lot. Bro, we spoke about last year.
It's hard to defend.
Putting balls into the box, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Right? And now you've got teams doing long throws and it's fucking hard to defend, especially if you get someone to flick it on. Bro, you got to now anticipate.
Especially if you have a player with that ability to do it. Like, correct, and Sunderland do. They've got a couple of players. Rondon can do it.
Yep.
And then that other guy, Ballard, can do it too.
Yeah, exactly. So look, and then after that, it was tough for us to try to break them down. They just put like 9 guys in the box and we couldn't break them down. Second half, Sunderland just, again, low block, just set up everyone in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried, we had a couple shots on target, nothing really of substance, but I feel like Sunderland were happy with the point. And then fucking injury time, they just bomb it forward. And I don't know what our defenders were doing. Like,
I think specifically Chalobah.
Yeah, he was having a picnic in between.
Yeah, he's just looking at the ball and I'm like, well, that's the definition of ball watching.
Exactly. Bro, dude, it was hard. He literally ran into the space.
Because you had enough players to defend that move.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he just
Chalobah peeled off and went to that player, he can't shoot.
Yeah. I find it... it was a...
But I think that's the problem.
Lack of concentration.
I think that's the problem with the younger team, right? Like, that's what you have to deal with because you got someone like Van Dijk there. He's going to cover that space and he's going to be like, well, I can't go for the man because then there's a big hole in the box.
Correct.
But if I move off him and cover the space, I trust that my one player can hold off the guy because he's back to goal.
Full back to goal. Yeah. And you've got the Chelsea midfielders coming in too. So all you had to do was just hold him up and Chalobah had to mark that man. But fucking lets him go. And look, to be fair, it was a nice goal.
It was a good finish.
Good finish, first time, bottom corner. But I think that comes down to, like you said, leadership. And us especially not taking our chances. As limited as they were, we still were the better team. We had more possession, more goals, more shots on target. But little lapses like that, that cost you a point and possibly three.
Yeah, well, which it did. That's it.
Which it did, yeah. So, and look, I will give props to Sunderland. They're second, right?
Yeah.
Sunderland are
killing it.
They're now fourth, but they're equal third with Tottenham.
Yeah.
1 point off second. That's amazing.
Yeah, dude, killing it. I imagine they stay in the Premier League unless there's a giant fall off.
Yeah, it would take a big fall off for them because at the moment, I think they're 12 points ahead of 12 points ahead of 18th. So it would take a massive drop.
Then we had Newcastle Fulham.
So Newcastle Fulham finished 2-1. Sorry, I'm just bringing up.
I think this Newcastle.
We both had Newcastle in this
Newcastle
one.
Team's figuring itself out. They're starting
yes,
to get
especially
lucky.
With Ishak leaving and then having to bring Voldemort in late.
If anything, I think they might be playing a little bit better. I think they relied a lot on Ishak to get them goals.
Yep.
And now I think they've got a good distribution.
Yep.
Like the likes of Bruno are playing fantastically, right? I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name. Guimarães.
Who?
Guimarães.
Oh, Bruno Guimarães, yeah.
Like, he's playing fantastically at the moment.
Is he the captain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really leads them. Like,
he does,
He's like a different feel in there.
Yep.
And then, obviously, I think in this game, Murphy.
Good finish. Mate, he had a couple good chances, actually.
Yeah, and most of them were him stealing the ball off Fulham and getting a breakaway.
He doesn't stop running.
Nah.
He's a really good winger. He's someone that you would definitely want in your team.
Yeah, and like he's a good points getter as well. Like you could definitely toss him up to put you in the fantasy. The problem is he hasn't been starting every game.
And he's not as consistent with goals and assists.
Because he doesn't start every game.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Bruno gets the winner in the 90th minute after the keeper, I think it was Leno, push it right into him. Yeah. So unlucky for Fulham. But, you know, shit like that happens.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Then we had probably the most riddled with questions game of the week is Man U Brighton.
Yeah, so look, you had Man U and I had Brighton. So good pick by you. But to be fair, Brighton nearly got him.
Yeah. And to be fair, if the whistle went the right way.
Yeah.
Brighton would have been a different game.
Well, I'll let you take over for this one, but there was a lot of controversial.
Yeah. Firstly, Cunha's opener's beautiful goal.
Bro. Yeah. Does that open his account?
Yeah. That's his first goal for Man U. So he's off the mark now. Nice. Could be a dangerous player.
Yep.
Then we had Casemiro's goal. Now this is one where I'd speculate because the Brighton go to play the ball out. They get caught with possession. Shaw comes in for a tackle. Ball gets lost. Now, I'd argue that, yeah, he does get the ball first. But in the lead up to, in the aftermath of the tackle, grabs the player and throws him to the...
Knew that was going to happen.
We did know that was going to happen. We were expecting and still it shocked us. Then he pulls the player down, right? So he's no longer in the play. I'm like, it's a foul.
Mm.
And like VAR doesn't intervene to say that it's foul because it doesn't really relate to the play.
Because it's off the ball?
It is off the ball. He does make a fair tackle, but then continues.
So if the ref called it, you're like, oh, off the ball, foul.
Yeah, because if you're just watching the game, irregardless of the goal, you go, well, that's a foul.
Yeah.
Right? And then it just seems like he just moved on with the play. He wasn't. And the way that the commentators are saying it in the game, they're going, oh, he's not looking to give. He's been consistent without giving these softer fouls.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
As long as he's consistent.
Understand that. However, then the second goal for Mbembo's goal. Now, this is the second
one. The third one.
The third goal. So the second foul.
Second foul, yeah.
Right? For Mbembo's goal. Shaw comes in. The player beats him. He's pulling his shirt.
Ruder, yeah.
Yeah. Pulls him down. Mm. They get the ball, go back down the other end, and Mbembo scores.
Yes.
How VAR doesn't step in.
Well.
And give that as a foul.
Well, it went to VAR, and they said it didn't. Like, Shaw wasn't affecting him, or he didn't get it wasn't a strong enough of a foul.
Yeah,
but if you look at it, like he's got it. You see the jersey getting pulled, and you're like, okay. So if you see a jersey pull, that's a foul. Like you can't just start.
Well, when we get to the Liverpool game, I'm going to discuss the complete opposite of that for VAR.
Yeah, I did see that, and I did think as well because even the commentator was like, I think it's going to get pulled back for a foul.
Everyone thought it was,
and they're just like, no, it's a goal, and you're like, oh fuck, okay, whatever.
Yes.
But then to Brighton's credit, they come back. So it's 3-0 at this stage in the second half. They come back to 3-2. Welbeck gets a free kick.
But in the process of that, and again, for another VAR
So this is at 3-0.
Yeah, yep. You've got Welbeck, yep. Right? He does score the biggest worldie of a free kick.
Mm.
However, I don't know if you saw how he got the free kick. Brighton players going one-on-one. Like, he's ahead of Dorgu.
Mm.
Dorgu just takes him out.
So, yes, I did see that. Now, I do agree, if you're now, just so everybody knows, he was last man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
he's going one-on-one.
What I think VAR and what I've seen on comments have said is that Welbeck hit the ball too far where he wasn't going to get it before the keeper. So it's not a goal-scoring opportunity. But I thought if it was last man, irregardless, it should still be...
Well, because, I mean, all right, yes, to judge whether or not you can get to the ball, but it's the same thing in the... So you're essentially saying, I'm not giving him a red card because I don't know whether or not he could have got the ball. So anytime someone's going through and they touch the ball a little bit far, just angle tap him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just... He goes, he's taking the player out and he's... stopped him from getting the opportunity that could come from a goal. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could appreciate it, like, if, but it happens in the box, that's a penalty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I failed to see how it's not a red card.
So when you're saying, like, if the whistle went Brighton's way, it's those little things.
That's what I mean.
That's three there.
Yeah. And that takes it to 2-0, mm-hmm. right? There's a red card there, free kick. Maybe he scores it, maybe he doesn't mm-hmm. in that universe. But it still gives them a whole run of only at 2 goals with 10 men. It's considerably easier to score 2 than it is to score 3.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think that they were hard done by.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And especially the way they came back. Like you said, Welbeck gets his free kick mm-hmm. on his Old Trafford return.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's super consistent on Brighton. Just scores... every now and then, but it's enough to be like, oh, Welbeck's still here.
Yeah, he gets 10 or 12 goals.
Yeah, that's it.
Great.
Yeah. Kustolas then scores off the corner, makes it 3-2 I think it was like the 90th minute. So there's still like 8 minutes of injury time. So Brighton had a chance, but then Mbeumo gets his goal, kills it in the 97th minute, and Man U win 4-2.
Yeah, a good win for Man U.
Look, if you're looking at it, like, I woke up to it and I saw 4-2, I thought, oh, Man U must have smashed him. But when you actually watch the game, Brighton pushed them right to the end.
That's all, like, I think, I've got a lot of confident Man U fans, a cash for one of them, constantly sending me memes about how great, how bad Liverpool is. And it's only Man U fans that are talking.
Look, man, they haven't had this sort of run for, what is it, 3-4 years.
Yeah, but it shows they're douchebags, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm against them. I really hope they just have a real bad slump. It's not going to end for me now.
They need a draw or a loss in the next game, because what's that guy's name that's growing his hair out?
He's got three,
yeah. Right? In the next two games, I'll bring him up now. The next two games, they've got Nottingham Forest away and then Spurs away.
Yeah.
So two big games.
He wants Spurs to do something.
Well, look, Nottingham Forest, we'll get into the games later.
No, I want the hope to be there get four.
Let's see if they win against Forest. Fuck, big pressure in that Tottenham game.
Yeah, dude, hilarious pressure.
Next game is the Livo game.
Liverpool, Brentford,
look,
Liverpool.
We both picked Livo on this one. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Ah, look, man, fuck, 5 losses in the Premier League. It's not great.
No, it's not great.
It's not
at
great.
All.
I mean, look, our position in comparison to last year is pretty similar from a points perspective.
Yeah.
But it's just the quality of our play is disgusting. Gusting.
So it's not 5 in the Premier League. It's 5 out of 6 because one was in the Champions League.
Yeah, yep. So 4 in the Premier League.
4 in the Premier League, yeah.
So, but it's not... we're losing because teams have figured out that a low block with a long ball is quite effective against us, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Which is what happened. And then, like, you know, as much as Stoke goes, this is really hard to play against and they don't do it to anyone else. It's like, okay, but you got to figure it out.
Correct.
Like, we can't sit there going... Well, you can't just every week say the same thing. A low block with a long board is too hard to play against.
With the team you've got, you should be able to work out how to break it down.
Team we got. It's just the level that you've built the team to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
now have to. That's what teams are going to play against us like. Mm-hmm. All right, and then in the Champions, you're going to have teams open up. Galatasaray didn't do it, right?
Mm.
Like, you've got to figure it out. So Brentford come in early with a long throw goal.
Like
now,
you said, yep.
This pissed me off because one. You know Brentford does that.
Yeah.
They literally, that's what they've been doing.
Mm.
And at the opening of the game, they were pressing us hard. Good for them.
Mm.
But We like the ball goes to Connor Bradley. Fair enough. It's probably Mama had a shit game with his feet. He couldn't pass the ball, and he kept passing him out for throw-ins to them. And I'm like, now you're giving them the opportunities to do this.
These are goal-scoring opportunities.
Yes,
and you're just
you need to keep the ball in play and not out for throw-ins. I'd rather give him a corner.
Or at least if you're going,
I'd rather give him a corner.
Or at least if you're going to like clear it further up the pitch, or they can't just throw it
away.
In.
Just because you're going to Connor Bradley, and like I like Connor Bradley defensively.
Yes,
I think he's strong defensively. The problem that he has is that his passing is not at that level.
Mm.
So he was miscontrolling the ball at occasions, and then the ball goes out for throwing.
Yep.
Then I'm like, fuck, like stop the throw-ins, because that's what's putting us on the back foot, slowing the game down.
Yep.
We need to speed it up.
Mm.
And then we saw opportunities, right? Like when we started to speed the game up, we started creating. But again, they've got 10 men behind the ball.
Correct, yeah.
They weren't even bothered putting someone up front.
They had Thiago like between the halfway line and the 18-yard box just kind of sitting there. But everyone else is around the 18-yard
box. And even sometimes he would push back and they would just go to fully defend it. And they would just have him. And I'm like, I don't blame him. It's a good tactic. They get a counter-attack. Sharda scores. It's a second goal.
It was a great ball by whoever put it in.
Yeah. No, again, yes, because we have to push so hard, which we shouldn't have to do that early.
Mm.
He gets the second goal. We get a bit lucky. Kirkes, who had a shocking half. Like, he was just lost on the field.
Was he playing as a left back or like as a centre back?
Yeah, left back. And the problem is he likes to bomb up.
He does, yeah.
He likes to bomb up. And
like, that's how he scored.
Yeah.
He's bombed.
Bombed up and then ball comes across, he taps it in.
Yep.
Good goal.
And I will say you guys were lucky to be only 2-1 down because they were the much better team in the first
half. I'm not going to say that we got like that Brentford played good. I think we played shit.
Yeah.
We couldn't link passes together.
Yep.
Right? I don't think we linked 5 passes together unless it was through the back line.
Yep.
Almost the entire game. Nothing. It was just there's no service going through the middle. They're all confused with each other on how they want to play.
Mm.
They're all playing a different version of football in the middle, and there's not enough service going to the strikers.
Yep.
Right? And it's like killing us. And then, you know, not much happened. We came out in the second half. And Gakpo has an opportunity for a penalty, which I think is a penalty, right? The player steps across him, doesn't get anything on the ball.
Is Gakpo the ball like running to the keeper? I haven't seen it. So.
He's cut from outside the 18-yard box on the left.
Yep.
Inside as he does, trying to take his touches to line up for a shot. Player steps across to get the ball.
Yep.
Right? Bang. Touches his leg. He goes down. And then the ref just goes, play on. Shouts for a penalty. Nope. Go down the other end. And that's when I go, the softest baby shit fucking penalty.
Mm.
Of it originally gets given for a foul on the edge of the 18-yard box.
Yep.
And then the VAR steps in out of, like, nowhere. No one's even, like, going to VAR. The Brentford players aren't even asking for a penalty.
No, they were ready for the free kick.
Yeah. Then they go, oh, actually, just hold on. We're just checking this. It's actually on the line. That's a penalty. And I'm like, so hang on. You looked at the Gakpo one for 2 seconds, and then at our end, you're like, oh, hang on a second, guys. It's on the line.
Yeah, look, I will check out the Gakpo one because I'm very interested to see how that actually went because I haven't seen it because all the highlights, all the reports, I didn't see one thing about the Gakpo one.
Yeah. For me, I was watching the game, and I just went, oh, mate, that's a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, he steps across him. And then Salah finally gets a goal in the 90th minute or the 89th
80,
minute.
80-something minute, yeah.
Yeah. 89th minute.
Do you reckon it's because he got the ball?
I don't see him get the ball.
Okay.
Like if Gakpo takes the touch out wide and then he steps across him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm just having a look. Yeah, it's all steals.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
But look, disappointing loss. We have to figure it out, right? Like we shouldn't be in a position where we're chasing a game against Brentford.
And look, it's not. And again, look. Teams lose, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But again, like you said, it's the way that you guys are losing. It's the way you guys are playing.
Yeah, we're playing bad football.
Which is the scary part.
Yep.
Right? Like we've lost a couple games. We've had red cards, right? And you're like, ah, fuck, whatever. You cop it. But when you're losing, like Brentford were the better set up team for that game.
Yeah, they knew what their system was.
Correct. Yeah.
And they executed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Slot didn't have a solution for this.
Yeah.
Now, my problem with it, I get it when you lose a game like this.
Yeah.
Right? And then you go, fuck.
We need to learn from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's learning from it. And that's the issue that I'm having with it. I'm like, he keeps putting out the same team. And like, I understand his rationale for it. He goes, if you were to tell me before the game we would have this many opportunities, this many big chances, and our players would get create this many chances for us to score. He goes, I would assume we win the game. Cool, I do too. But unfortunately, it's not winning the games.
Yeah.
So I think we need to revert to a different style to win the games. It may be shit. Like, you may be going, I don't want to play this version of football, but if they're going to play that low block to us, we're going to have to put balls over the top consistently so that they're stretched at the back and they can't go forward. You know what I mean? But us being able to play like this, if you can't link the passes together and you lose it, they're just going to come run down the other end.
Correct.
Which is what they did.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the Wolves-Burnley game.
Hey, look, I thought this would have been a dog shit game. It was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it's a great goal.
Yeah.
Well, we're calling Fleming's goal of the week.
Bro, he just gets this long ball. Oh, sorry, let's get to the tips first. So, where are we at? So, we both picked the draw, which, fuck, it should have been a draw.
Yeah.
But wasn't Wolves win 3-2. Burnley win 3-2. But, yeah, Fleming's first goal. Long ball over the top and just first time, bang, buries it. You're just going... Where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, straight out. I was just there. He's like, well, he's going to take it down, right? Yeah. Oh, no, it's gone.
Yeah. And my favorite part, not just the finish, but his celebration.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
He just starts flexing. And you're like, fuck, bro. All right, calm down.
Fuck, you can flex on that butt.
Crack a goal, bro.
You can flex on that butt, to be fair.
Then he gets a second goal. There was a bit of controversy for it. I think they thought there was a foul in the goal, but
there was a foul in the lead up.
In the lead
up, I think that's what they were pinning for. I didn't really think it was a foul.
Nah.
Didn't look very hard.
They checked on it and they allowed it to stand, right? And that was 2-0 first half. But Wolves didn't go down without a fight. They get a pen. They get the pen, right?
Strand Larson.
Yep, Strand Larson, who was captain. I think, isn't he new to the team?
Last year, 2 years?
He was captain. So.
But yeah, he was the one that stayed that was still good, you know? Everyone was going for
him. Everyone left and he stayed.
Didn't Arsenal want him at a stage?
I think so, yeah. And then they get an equaliser just before half-time. I think they get a header. And you're like, oh, look at that, fucking 2-all at half-time. Like, come back and 2-0 down. But Wolves pushed. And I will give credit to the fans. They fucking pushed them. And they were feeding off their energy, and they hit the crossbar in the second half off a free kick. I don't know if you saw that, but it was going where the spiders live, and it came off the corner part of the post and comes out. But unfortunately, fucking Burnley. I mean, unfortunately for Wolves, fucking Foster scores
right at the end
in the last minute of the game.
But not really the last minute.
No, it was the last minute. It was like it just ticked over. There's still a minute to go.
Yeah, and then they get the extra minute for the goal.
Correct. Yeah. So
and what is it? Wolves went up the other end. Dubravka makes a full goal line save, bro.
The commentator said when at the end of the season they will look back and say that will be goal. Save of the season.
Yeah, 100%.
He caught it behind him.
Yeah. Wrestles it off the line.
The last kick of the game behind him. Just grabbed the
ball. Well, because if you think about the points that Burnley need to win to stay up, they're the points they need to win.
That's the ones you got to win.
You know what I mean? If they end up staying up, they'll look at that as one of the games where it was the effort from Dubravka that kept them up.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Then we had the Arsenal-Palace game. I mean, we can be pretty quick on this one.
Yeah, look, you picked Arsenal. I picked draw. It was a very close game.
100%. It definitely could have been a draw. Yep. I mean, Palace registered no shots on target. Arsenal fans are very happy about that.
One.
They've apparently withdrawn the one.
I still have one on my app, so I don't care what they say. But look, and I don't know why we didn't do this, but Eze to score against his old team. It was written in the stars, bro. We should have known this, but we didn't. But look, Eze gets the goal, and then from there it was two well-drilled teams set up, and they were both trying to, like, to be fair, Palace had a few good chances to win, to get a goal. But as Arsenal do, keep a clean sheet, keep it tight, and get the 3 points and move on.
I think they're going to continue to do that for at least a few rounds.
For a while.
They've got no injuries. Until the injuries come, they start complaining.
Yep.
Then we had Villa City. Now, this was a shock result.
Big shock result. Look, I think this is the reaction to... this is a reason as to why... Like, so this is the answer for why they haven't been playing that well, City.
Mm-hmm.
They've been scrapping along. Getting wins, just relying on Haaland. They shut Haaland down. This fucking Villa shut him down.
Yeah. Well, Emery. I think Emery played a great system against them. I think it really pointed out like the weakness is that if you can lock out Haaland,
yep,
they haven't got many options there.
There's no one behind that's helping. Like, well, in previous years, like they had
KDB, right?
Well, yeah, in previous years, they had KDB, who was on fire. They had Foden when he was in form, not last year, the year before. Yeah. Or even Bernardo Silva was ticking in with goals and assists. But this season, I mean, like, Marmoush is injured. Randeers, he wasn't really involved in this game.
No. Well, I think, again, that's because Haaland got locked out. Rangers finds it easy when Haaland's got space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Haaland couldn't get space.
Yeah.
And if you can't give, if Haaland doesn't get space, very hard for him to score.
Hard.
Clearly. But again, it's not an easy task to do. And I think we had a close runner up for goal of the week as well.
Well, right? This was your runner up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matty Cash.
Which is a huge guy outside the box.
I had him in my team and I took him out at the right time because they sucked for a couple of weeks, but he came back with a fucking bang.
Yeah, dude, it's a great goal. I mean, our leading point scorer this week had Matty Cash in his back line.
We'll get into that. Don't worry about that.
But then we had Pau Torres. How close was the own goal?
Bro, how'd he do that?
Oh, dude.
He's actually looking at the goal. The ball comes across and he just goes over the bar.
Yeah, you know? And he just goes, oh, shit. Like, he's like, seeing his face.
He's just like, yes.
Yeah, dude.
The other point I wanted to make was Haaland did score, but it was offside.
Offside, yeah.
And then see him smash the post.
Yeah.
Fuck, he connected with the post, bro.
Damn, it would have hurt. His ass went straight into it. Got plowed by a big-ass pole.
BWC, I think they call it.
A big white post? BWP.
BWP, yeah. We'll do the Bournemouth game next. Now, well, this
one
was
another point in the Villa game before we move on.
Oh,
Jadon
sorry.
Sancho.
Okay, I am now going to defend Jadon Sancho.
Okay.
Okay, I'm defending him in this one. So, Jadon Sancho got subbed on in the 28th, or you got 34th minute there. I think Buendia got injured. So
yes,
he came on, right?
He did.
But then he gets subbed off in the 72nd minute. My reason, look, it is embarrassing getting subbed on, then subbed off, right? But I feel like this was more of a tactical thing.
I think potentially he didn't play a terrible game.
He had a couple chances.
He made it in the box.
He had a good chance, shot. Yep.
A double shot. So, like, he didn't play terribly.
Yeah.
But it is funny.
If you look at it from just face value, it's like, oh, Sancho got subbed on and off. What a loser.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, they were beating City 2-1. Were they at home? Villa at home, weren't
yeah.
they? Yeah. So they were winning 1-0 against City. At some stage, you're going to make a tactical change to try to shore things up. Unfortunately, Sancho was the one that was sacrificed, which kind of makes sense. You could usually take off a winger when you want to shore
things up. Yeah, I get it. I'm still laughing.
It's funny, but I am going to defend Jadon on this one. Next game was the Bournemouth Forest one. Now, look, this was pretty simple. 2-0 for Bournemouth. Forest had a couple good chances.
Yeah.
Gibbs White had a couple chances.
I'm burning about this one because I went Semenyo, captain.
Oh, you captain.
Trying to follow the non-trend of 93% of people captaining Haaland. I'm going to go Semenyo. I don't think Haaland can get a goal.
Which is fair.
Which was a great call. Mm. I did get one extra point.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, man.
Look, your runner-up for goal of the week was Matty Cash.
Yeah.
My runner-up for the week, goal of the week, was Tavernier. Scored an Olympico. Anyone that does know what Olympico is, it's when you score directly off a corner.
Hey, it was great. It was direct.
What the fuck is Cells doing?
I don't know.
He's just fucking waving in midair. It's like, oh, shit.
He didn't expect it. I think he expected the ball to come out. And then when it's come in so close, he's like, I don't know what to. Didn't know how to handle it. Wasn't prepared. I don't know.
It was a crack of whip. But yeah, look, Tavernier gets his Olympico. And then Krupe gets his other goal in the first
Which
half.
I think, I mean, he's having a great season. It's three from four.
Yeah, he's in a nice little purple patch right now. But yeah, Bournemouth go through 2-0. And then the last game, which I think was a bit of a shock result.
I do too.
I'm going to quickly run through this because I've got some burning fucking burns going on inside from this one. So Everton Spurs, you picked draw and I picked Everton. So we're both wrong on that. But look, Van de Ven gets his first goal, 19th minute. I think Bentancur puts it back in. He scores. Then there was the O'Brien goal for Everton, and it was disallowed off the corner. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's off a corner. O'Brien gets the header on, but because Ndiaye and Grealish are around Vicario.
They're sandwiching the keeper. They're involved in the play.
Yeah.
Like, I can see the argument where you're like, well, they don't touch it. It's like, yep, but they're in the six-yard box.
But I have seen that before where keepers are getting smothered by an opposing defender and they allow the goal.
They're not offside, though.
Okay.
Because they're offside. Like, it's not that they're fouling the keeper. Mm. It's that they're offside.
Mm, okay.
And that's the problem. So I'm like, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, it's a bit of a toss. I'm like, well, there's actually no players there to keep them onside. So they get done for being offside because they're in the six-yard box distracting the keeper on an offside position.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, that's the reason that I saw it. I kind of agreed with it at the time when I saw it as well.
Yeah, okay. And then look, Vandeven, the fucking piece of shit, gets his second his second goal off. Well, I'll tell you why he's a piece of shit in time. Gets his second goal off a corner in injury time. Saar gets the third goal in the 89th minute. But one other, Vicario. If Vandeven didn't get man, Vandeven got man of the match. Vicario was second.
Yeah,
he pulled off some cracker saves in this game.
Piece of shit because I had him on my bench. I've played him for like 3 weeks in a row. Ever since I've had him, I've played him. And then the 1 week I'm like, I think I might go the Burnley guy.
I think Everton's going to score. Yeah. And you're like, nah.
Yeah. And, fucking, because he made that goal line save off the overhead kick.
From Beto's bicycle kick. Yeah. It was a great save.
Oh, I mean, look, I had Porro. Porro got assist.
That's nice for you. He got 11
points for me.
That's nice for you, man. I love that for you. Now let's get into why Vandeven is a piece of shit.
Well, you know, you're a bit heartbroken, man.
Bro, huge heartbroken.
Yeah, what happened with your fantasy league this week?
Look, I was below average. But to be fair, a lot of players were this week. But look, I had Vandeven on my bench. 23 points.
If we can just pull that up. So
yeah. Pull it up. Whatever. Make my embarrassment further. Look, I had Trufford who got an assist. I was very happy. I'm liking that trade, actually.
It's been a decent trade for you.
Yeah, it's been a good trade. But look, the only ones that scored for me were Trufford, Timber, and Bowen. That was it. But if you want to scroll down a little bit further.
Look, there's
a star. There it is. 2/3 of my total points was one player sitting on the fucking bench.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Hey, look, it's not the worst thing I saw. I saw someone who had Vandeven, Porro, and Vicario on their bench. So
if we go into the league standings, you can kind of see. So, Stammer, World 11 himself, Mr. Confident, used his free hit this week. Not to any great success, to be fair.
No.
Not to any great success.
Look, so, I got 1 point on him, so I'm catching up.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely. Yeah,
it's all right, I got 11 points on him.
Yep.
A nice 20% chase down in 1 week.
Nice.
It's not bad. Yeah. I did drop one place.
I mean, Chan had a good score.
Well, right until the end because he had Vandeven.
Oh, did he?
He had Vandeven. Vandeven came on.
Motherfucker.
But let's go to our highest point scorer of the week. Mr. 79 points himself, Morris Lim.
Shout out to Morris Lim.
Yeah, shout out, Morris. Let's see how his team went here. So he had Vandeven in his team, Pedro Porro and Matty Cash. The double investment on Tottenham finally paid off for him.
Finally paid off, yeah. He's been listening to your advice.
Yeah.
And he took it.
Yeah.
But you look at those three defenders, that's 49 points.
Right? Yeah.
You're 49 points off three players. That's gangster.
Mo Salah captained him too.
Yep.
That's some damn good faith.
And look,
must be a Liverpool fan because Frimpong Ishak kept on the bench.
He is a Liverpool fan. Look.
Yeah. Good guy. Great guy.
You don't even know Morris Lim. Yeah.
Good guy. Really good guy.
He's a great guy.
He's probably one of the best guys. And then look, Cash 40 points.
Why are you going to bring Cash up?
Yeah, dude, because listen, man, Cash has been bothering me, okay? He's been bothering me for a few goddamn weeks about Liverpool, and he's really starting to piss me off, man. We'll quickly look at my team, and then we can jump back over. So I didn't do too badly. Pedro Porro, Rondon wish he got that damn clean sheet, man.
Yeah, Bowen kind of fucked on that one.
Yeah, Semenyo's captain. Grealish, Rendiz didn't do shit. Kudus, nothing but the clean sheet.
So it was all Rondon, Timber, Pedro Porro.
Yeah, the only thing I probably could have done better was leave Vicario in goal and then get myself an extra 4 points.
Yeah.
And had, 53.
Hey, look, it's no 23. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, listen, yeah, I'm not as devastated as you.
Oh, dude, that was heartbreaking. I woke up to your message like, Vandeven on the bench. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no.
I click on the game. It's like a double. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah,
seriously,
dude.
Fuck. Like, dude, I've played him every single week. The two times I haven't played him, City, clean sheet, Everton, clean sheet and 2 goals.
Well, yeah.
Look. I'm going to fucking play him every week just so he gets a fucking goal against him. The fuck with it. I'm sorry, bro.
I can tell, man.
I would have made a massive jump up to Stammer.
Yeah, if you had the 20 points, you'd
have been like 10 points behind.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they're 10 or 10 or 12.
Yeah, something 10
or 12
like that.
Points behind him.
Oh, frustrating.
But the other point is Chilati, when he used his bench boost this week, probably not the best week to use bench boost, he got 60-odd points.
That's still a good
score. So he's climbing back up. He's making a resurgence.
Considering the average is like 46 or something,
yeah.
If you're getting 60, that's really
good. Well, and then the other one's our number one hater, Nick Housius. The Greek elite getting his act together. It looks like he actually remembered to do his team this week.
Oh wow, love that for him.
But if we kind of look onto what's coming up, I think top transfers that are coming into teams now are Mbembo, Mateta,
yep,
Thiago from Brentford.
Very underrated, I think.
I think he's worth having, especially if you see a good decent run of home games for Brentford.
Yep.
Walter Maid, he's been consistent scoring, hit the post.
Yep.
In the last game.
Like you said, he has been very consistent for Newcastle.
Yeah. And Gabriel, which I think before we started this, was saying he's the reason that they're getting clean sheets.
Yeah, look, I'm of the opinion that Gabriel is a better all-round player than Saliba. Yep. I know a lot of Arsenal fans, actually like soccer fans in general, think Saliba is a better player. But I'm of the opinion that Gabriel is. I think he's a better leader. I think he's stronger offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a better defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're not far off.
Well, he gets more defensive contributions, right?
And I think you mentioned this before we went on air, that he Arsenal look better when Saliba's away than when Gabriel's away.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. They're much more of a threat because there's so many set piece goals, right?
Correct. Yeah.
He's great in set pieces. He's strong. He gets up.
So strong.
So set pieces. I think if they were to lose Gabriel, which it's looked like for 3 weeks, he's going to be injured, and then he ends up playing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether or not that harms him in the long run, I don't know.
We'll see.
But he's worth having in your team. Put it that way.
Yep.
Then the top transfers out, and I think all of these have made sense. So João Pedro hasn't done much in 7 games.
No, he ever since Delap went out, which we all thought would boost João Pedro, he's really fallen off.
Then you've got Rendiers. He's been taken out. And again, I've been tooting his horn. I've been saying he's a great player because he's so cheap.
Yes.
And he can include. But again, you shut down Haaland, he doesn't really have many options.
Yep.
Salah.
He was number one last week, and he's still third of people coming out. So people still have him in their team. And I think they're just slowly realizing expensive.
Because the thing with Salah is that he can just turn on, right? Like, he could just turn up and start scoring a bit of goals. I mean, I've taken him out of my team. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we haven't seen him turn up since you guys officially won the title.
Well, I mean, he's almost like a top-tier stock when Trump puts the tariffs in. Wait till his price drops real low and hopefully get him for the back half of the season, because at some point he'll start scoring.
James Wisbicky O'Neill.
Yeah. The stuck guy. And then the last two, we had Kudus and Ishak. I mean, Ishak makes sense. He got injured.
Kudus, I don't really get. I feel like he's still playing well.
Yeah.
Ishak, I totally get.
Yeah. So, I think Kudus is probably the only one on that list we disagree with.
Yes, I think so. But I'm still keeping Kudus on my team. There's more.
I agree.
There's different players I need to get rid of.
Yeah, I'm going to get Vicario out of my fucking team. Then we've probably got, like, let's look into this week and teams that are worth having players for. I think there's some difficult games. So, look, Arsenal versus Burnley. I see that being like a 1-0, right?
Because it's Burnley at home.
Yeah.
So I feel like
defensively, they're going to be very strong. Correct, I don't think they're going to open up against Arsenal. They're going to try and do a lot of long balls, stuff like that. Arsenal have been dealing with those all
Arsenal
season.
Probably deal
It'll
with
be
that,
a low block for them.
Yep.
I like the idea of Declan Rice getting something.
Eze
getting something. Gabriel.
I think Declan Rice is a good shout.
Timber even.
Yeah, hopefully Timber is in my team.
Then we've got Brighton meeting at Leeds. Now, Brighton are at home, and I think that's why they'll probably give Leeds a lot of trouble.
I think Leeds struggle more away from home.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. But Brighton, I think, are just the way they played against Man U, they didn't go away.
The whole time they've been in the Premier League has been like, what, nearly 10 years and they've been in the Premier League? They've never just like been a team to just disappear.
No.
They will always be on your ass.
Yeah,
no
and
what.
The form Welbeck's in at the moment, mm-hmm. he's scoring worldies and he's scoring, you know, doubles and everything at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'd tip him to get a goal in that one.
Ooh, money on?
Well, potentially. Potentially. I did have Bet365 on the brain.
Speaking about Bet365.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've got Everton taking a trip to Sunderland. I think this is an interesting game because you could pick players from either team.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's a both teams to score situation.
Okay.
And I can definitely see with someone like Ballard coming back with Sunderland.
It's going to be interesting because you like Ballard. He's the big centre back, right? So he's going to be competing against Brathwaite and
Brathwaite's injured, isn't he still?
Sorry, O'Brien.
O'Brien
and Tarkowski.
Yeah.
So there's going to be two big guys. So
big guys, but again,
two big guys beating their mates. You know what I mean?
Dude, listen.
No homo.
Yeah, with his wrapped up hand. Like he hasn't been beating his meat.
Meat beaten.
So I think you can take multiple. I wouldn't go defenders in either of these teams, but I'd definitely take attackers or midfielders.
Both teams to score, I think, is a good shot.
I think so too. And then we've got Fulham versus Wolves. I don't know how this goes.
Anyone that plays Wolves, you're putting it into that easy team.
I think so. But again, Fulham have the ability to show up. Who you pick from the team to put in, I couldn't tell you.
I got one. It's Jimenez.
Yeah.
Jimenez got the assist for the goal against Newcastle, and he's always getting the ball and having shots. He's always getting into space. If there's one Fulham player that you would pick, I'd probably put money on Jimenez to score or assist in that game.
Well, yeah, for sure. Sessegnon.
Yep.
Is another one that you could definitely do. He's cheap.
Yep.
And then I think the last one to really look at is Newcastle. Right? Walter Maid is probably a great choice to put into your team. We were saying about Jacob Murphy, but it's whether or not he starts.
I think he's starting to get into form now, so it'd be hard to take him out.
Yeah, yeah. A goal and a potential second goal in the last game, it's worth putting him in.
Yep.
So if we start to look down at some of the players that I think are starting to emerge as new, younger, or get hitting their form, I think Croupy Jr. from Bournemouth is a good option to have, three and four.
You said that before, he's 3 and 4, and he's probably like, what, 5 mil?
Yeah, he's a great cheap player to have.
Yep.
Problem you're going to have this week is that they're playing Man City.
Correct, yeah.
So I think he's a, if you can wait until next game, like unless you want to downgrade someone and bench him for this week, I reckon he's a great option.
Let's say you want to upgrade someone, so you downgrade.
Downgrade João Pedro. If you've got João Pedro still in your team, give yourself some more coins, invest it into someone.
Or Ishak, if you've got Ishak, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can downgrade Ishak. That's a lot of coins to get, right?
Yeah.
Then I think, look, if you're looking for the best cheap keeper, I think you're going two ways with keepers now, right? You got Rolfs from Sunderland, or you go Raya. Right, because Raya's going to get the clean sheets. He won't get the saves and potential bonus points, but the clean sheets are there, and that's really what you want from your keeper.
Yep.
If you're going to go defenders, Arsenal defenders. Oh. I think Palace defenders are probably another good one.
Well, you saw it on the game over the weekend, Arsenal-Palace. They were
hugely defensive. Three shots on target from Arsenal and zero from Palace.
One. One with a star.
Gabriel, Timber, Munoz and Gaye.
And Calafiori.
Calafiori is another one that you could put in. I personally prefer Timber over Calafiori.
I like Timber because if you watch his games, he bombs up further.
But Calafiori likes a long shot.
And he can whip him in.
Yeah. So I think you're looking for more assists out of Timber with occasional tap in.
Yep.
Whereas Calafiori, he long shots from outside the box.
Yep.
Surprise, surprise, with the four men using, right? Can they win the next two games? Is the question for old mate to shave his hair. But Mbembo is probably the most informed player at Man U at the moment. He's getting chances every week.
Oh, yeah. And you look at I'll give you the next five games. So Forest away, Tottenham away, right? So Forest is not informed. Tottenham away will be a good game. Then they've got Everton, Palace, West Ham, Wolves, Bournemouth, Villa.
They're doable games for them.
They could possibly win 3 out of 6.
Yeah.
Probably be a couple draws in there. You get 10 points out of 5 weeks. That's good.
Yeah, 100%. So, I think Mbembo is a great option. And look, sticking with the Arsenal trend and the form that they're in and also the run that they're on, Declan Rice.
It's funny because, Arsenal are top of the league, but you wouldn't put one attacker in your team.
Gyökeres wouldn't go in. No way.
I was considering putting him in when they're on this good run, but bro, he doesn't score for Sweden. He barely put in any shots.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem like a good choice
right
now.
What are your other options? You've got Gabriel Martinelli. Okay. He gets the occasional goal,
but he didn't even start.
He's not consistent. Again, and then you've got Trossard who starts over him, and he's probably the same. Mm. Saka hasn't scored in a while.
I think since before the international break, at least, that
he hasn't scored a goal or assisted.
He had a good chance against Palace, but again, it always shots from outside the box.
Yeah, and the other option you've got there is Eze, but he's more expensive than Declan Rice.
Yeah, because
Declan Rice takes the free kicks.
I do think Declan Rice is a good, cheap option as well.
Considering the scoring and assisting off their free kicks, I'd rather the guy takes free kicks.
Correct, yeah.
Right? Like, if he's going to be whipping them in,
Declan Rice.
At least I get an assist.
Correct, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I think the last option that's probably worth looking at, depending on their Sunderland, is Thiago.
Look, there's probably like 3 or 4 strikers that you could put in, right? So everyone will have Haaland, okay? But for your other options, you've got Mateta, you've got Voldemar, you've got Thiago. And you'd probably go, look, maybe, and then Kruppi as well, maybe Bowen. There's a lot of options you put up front. Just need to try to figure out.
But I think the options are, I wouldn't be spending big money on your strikers. I think the big money needs to sit on defenders this year and midfielders.
Yeah. Well, the big money is going into Haaland. Everyone has that. Then you just need to work around that. And there are a lot of good, cheap options.
Yeah. I tend to agree because, like you said, right, Ishak, Ekitike is getting goals.
I think if Ishak was to fuck off for like 3 weeks, I would put Ekitike in because he was scoring for you guys when he was starting.
I think there's – well, he has had the best start of any other new striker that's come into the league.
So, like this season?
Yeah. From goals that he scored the most. So, Everyone says Walter May is doing so well. Ekitike has scored more.
Yeah.
Walter May came in later, right? Correct. So, that's what you're going to, asterisk on it.
Yep.
But Ekitike is scoring, I think there's two games in which he hasn't scored. Right? So, I'm like, all right, well, he should be getting more minutes, but we're trying to get Ishak in there. And I get why, because of big name player, he does obviously have the skills to bang goals, but it's not working.
No.
So, change it up.
He still looks unfit.
He doesn't look like he has energy on the pitch.
Yeah, he's still in preseason.
And don't get me wrong, he's in my team, right?
Who?
And Ishak.
Oh, Ishak.
Ishak's in my team because I saw the vision of, he will score all these goals and blah, blah, blah.
Your vision was wrong, man.
Yeah, well, look, man. it was bad ayahuasca. I was going to pick to do then. I mean, I'll drop the gem. I'm using my free hit this week.
Nice.
Yeah, so what team I come out with, you won't know.
I got two trades. I've already decided on one. I'm pretty much going to bring Mbeumo in. Because the other midfielder I've got is Anderson from Forest. I haven't had time to get rid of him because I haven't needed to use him, but now I got to. Yeah. Now it's time to bring Mbeumo in.
Well, I've got to set up to get my bench boost, right? I've got to find the week where I want to use my bench boost and do the trades to get the maximum points for that.
Correct, yeah. And then the other one is a striker. Like I said, there's a lot of options. I just got to weigh up who to put in. I got the money for whoever. It's just more about seeing who has the better run, who's in better form, and just go from there.
I've been holding 2.5 million in the bank for this. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. So I literally can get any player that I want. So I'm like, all right, I'm set up for it.
Yeah.
Let's just see if I can execute it. Because history does say James get panics and then just throws all these players
in. Just don't go to Bali. Actually, you are going to Bali next year.
April. It's at the end of the season. It's fine.
Yeah. If you're pushing for top spot.
Yeah. Right at the end.
I'm like, dude, enjoy your holiday.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about fantasy. I got it.
But, dude, we have to knock Stammer off his perch. He's too confident. After last episode, one, he commented on the video and he said, you're not catching me. Two, he listened to the episode, he sends me a message going, dude, good luck, man. You're not getting shit. He's way too confident, bro. I'm like, dude, I caught up for him with 20%. He goes, it's sweet, bro.
He's like that Arsenal. They're very good enough. Arsenal, like a 70-something percent chance of winning the Premier League already. That's Stammer right now.
Yeah.
He's already got a 70% chance he's going to win.
He's been signing the checks, bro.
Just put his name on the trophy already.
Your body can't cash him, bro. That's the problem. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, best of luck with fantasy this week. And peace out, man.
Hopefully fucking no Vandervan shit this time.
Well, I mean, look, it's probably going to happen again, man. Let's be real. All right. Peace out.